following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News, talk, sports. So, I'm driving in today. And, then, you know, this doesn't happen a lot, but I think it happens, I don't know, every once in a while. I see a bumper sticker, and you know, is it just me? You don't see a lot of bumper stickers anymore, do you? I think people have really gotten pretty tired of putting them on their cars. You tend to see political ones. Radio stations used to use bumper stickers a lot for promotional purposes. In the years that I have been in such a decision-making process, I have never advocated for bumper stickers because I think people are not particularly fond of having them on their vehicle. That's just my take on it. So I try to think of other ways to promote the radio station. Further, I think I see, when I do see bumper stickers, and they are political, I think I tend to see more liberal than conservative. That's not, you know, that probably wasn't true in 2012 with the recall. You saw quite a few Scott Walker ones then because conservatives were motivated to express in any way they can or could their support for Scott Walker. So you did see quite a few of them back then. So I'm driving in. And for a distance, there's a car ahead of me. And it has two bumper stickers. One is to the rear left or rear driver side of the vehicle that says, "Go vegan." Now, I have no problem if somebody wants to eat vegetables only. I don't think it's a good diet. It's healthier than eating a lot of junk food, I'll grant you that. But I do think you need meat protein as a human being. I think we're omnivores, and that includes being carnivorous. And I think to be healthy, you need meat. I certainly understand, though, that vegetables, I think a meat, dairy, and vegetable diet is a great way to go. Go vegan. Then in the center of the rear bumper, there is a bumper sticker that says, "I'm ready for Hillary." By the way, Ready for Hillary is the name of that group that's trying to drag her into the race. And as I've argued, I think they have been successful. So I follow this vehicle. I don't know. We parted ways somewhere on my route to work. I don't remember right now, and it's not relevant. So they have a bumper sticker that says, "Go vegan." And in the center of their rear bumper, they have a bumper sticker that says, "I'm ready for Hillary." So obviously the driver is a big lib. Jason, guess what kind of car it was? This is so obvious. This has become, no, it wasn't an SUV. Now, that was a good guess. You're thinking that then there would have been hypocrisy there. No, in fact, there was predictability the other way. There you go. It was a Prius. Yep. They feel so good about themselves when they buy a hybrid. Now, by the way, I understand that liberals and conservatives alike are buying hybrids. But I remember, this goes back, 2009 maybe? I spoke in Madison at a Tea Party event. I think it was 2009. And I remember making fun of the Green Bay paper because they had a story, like a front page story, of this aging hippie couple who thought they were making the world a better place by buying a Prius. That was their little way to change the world. Okay, if you find vehicle efficiency, fuel efficiency in a hybrid, that's fine. But this notion that liberals are deluding themselves, that they're really changing anything in any significant amount by doing that, making the world a better place, is just a joke. You're getting better mileage out of your vehicle. That's fine. If you see the return on investment of the cost of it, that's fine. But it just cracks me up. Now, I know people who own Priuses, and they did it because of the price of gas. That's fine. But that you think you're making some profound political statement is just laughable. Now, speaking of profound, I want to profoundly and profusely thank all of those who gave yesterday to families of children with cancer. We had a lot of businesses step to the plate, and we appreciate that. Some good friends of the show, good friends of WTAQ, Sam Duell, Duell Financial Strategies, $2,500. Dr. Jason Litwin, $1,500. Ray Farmer, American Metal Roofs, $500. And others. I don't have the whole list in front of me here. But others did step forward. And want to thank them. Now, we do this again on Friday. So if you didn't give yesterday, Friday's your chance. If you're a business that would like us to brag on you because you give, you can do that on Friday. Also, now, courtesy of Al Timmerman at Jet Air, we did something yesterday. He had some things to give away. And what we did is what I would call a blind auction. We went for an hour saying the highest donation at the end of that hour would take home what Al offered us. And that worked successfully. I didn't tell you what people were donating. And we got a lot of money out of that item. Al has another one on Friday, and it has something additional to it. It's got a pontoon boat ride around, I think, at Shauna Lake, in addition to having lunch out there, flying out there, and so on. So we have that. I have another one I'll tell you about later in the week, where there's this outdoor backyard movie product that's out there now. It's very, very cool. And if you're the high bidder in a certain hour, not a high bidder, I shouldn't say that, high contributor, because we're not going to tell you what people are contributing. We do this blindly, because obviously we get more money that way. So we'll do that too. Also, throughout the week, do not forget, you can donate anytime you want. If you go to jerrybatershow.com, you will see a Donate Now button. That'll take you to Families of Children with Cancer's website. And from there, you'll be able to get to a PayPal donate button. And you can do that anytime. Really, you can also go to Families of Children with Cancer's website anytime you want and do that. But we're making it very accessible to you this week. If you go to jerrybatershow.com right now, you can do that. So if you didn't get a chance to give yesterday, not sure if you're going to get a chance to give on Friday, we will do that all week. Now, we promoted that yesterday. I have no idea how much money we got from that yesterday. And I'll try to check with families of and see if they have a way of measuring that. In terms of what we did on the air, I will tell you we were down a bit. 14,000 is down a bit from where we've been in recent years. Last couple of years, in total, we did about $32,000. But there was some other periphery giving there. There was. So about 15,000 a day on the air. We're off on that a little bit. Just a bit. But I want to make that up on Friday. So just we'll remind you through the rest of the week. And we'll remind you about the Donate Now, because you can do that anytime. And then we'll do it up again on Friday. It's only twice a year. Then we ask you again around Christmas time, because the kids need gifts for their, you know, they families of children with cancer needs gifts for their Christmas party for the kids. So we like you to help out there. I've been going back and forth in my mind because I've got a lot of stuff to get to today. That, of course, because we didn't get to a lot of stuff yesterday because of the radiothon. In yesterday's Wall Street Journal, there's a topic that I really would like to do today. But what I'm going to do is just introduce this topic to you, and then we're going to do this tomorrow. Because I've got a couple of phone topics already that I want to do today. And I think this would be a particularly good phone topic. So I want to introduce you to this. And then I think we'll do it as a phone topic tomorrow. You may or may not be aware. I'm guessing you are not aware. It's one of the silly little things that I know. That at the beginning of the 20th century, there was actually a proposal to close the U.S. Patent Office, because pretty much everything of substance had been invented. A little short-sighted, to say the least. But there is a new argument from an economist, Robert Gordon, who suggests that all the important stuff, in fact, has been invented. And he believes that income in the 21st century is going to be stifled because we lack innovation. Now, this might be hard for you to believe when you look at the latest iteration of the iPad, iPod, iPhone, Samsung phone. That's kind of his point, though. What he is saying is innovation is only coming in one sector, information technology, and that we just keep reinventing the same thing to make it better. Here's, and this is where I think this is a fascinating topic. His argument is, look at the world from 1900 to 1950. Okay? 1900, you didn't have airplanes. You didn't really have cars. You didn't have television. You didn't have radio. You didn't have any number of things that were developed in that half century. And I mean, I could go on and on. I left a whole lot out. In that half century, nuclear reactor. A lot of other things. Jet engine. In 1900, we didn't have airplanes. By 1950, we had the jet aircraft. His argument is, since that time, there's been relatively little innovation. Okay, you had a washing machine in 1950. You still have a washing machine. Now, it's got a lot of bells and whistles and things it didn't do, and it has different energy-efficient technology, but it hasn't changed all that much. Look at the change in the automobile from 1900 to 1950. He would argue, again, in general terms, the automobile hasn't changed all that much since 1950. Well, of course, it has, but what he's talking about is in what it is, it does it more conveniently, more comfortably, more energy efficiently, but it's still an internal combustion driven four-wheel vehicle that simply has far more amenities these days. It's a fascinating argument, and he argues that wealth has peaked out. Because for there to be a substantial growth in wealth, the way there was from 1800 through the 20th century, you need this type of innovation. And he goes back to the 19th century, the telegraph, the steam engine, the locomotive, on and on and on, that we are only really innovating in one area, and even there we've slowed in innovation. Even there, we just keep reinventing the same thing to try to make it better. His argument is we really aren't innovating in other areas, developing entirely new things that change the world. He doesn't say this quite in so many words in the article in the Wall Street Journal, but his argument seems to be the microprocessor was the last frontier, and now we just keep trying to manipulate and use that in more and more and more different ways. When you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Even if you go to the mid-1950s, we had television then, we had television now. Now, I understand you can't, TV back then, they could not conceive of the ways that you can get things on demand now. But again, that's back to his argument. We just keep improving the things that we have. Being able to get whatever TV show you want at any time on your iPad is an amazing innovation. His argument is it's just an improvement on something that's been around for 50 plus years. Whatever technology you have in your car is simply an improvement that's been around, well, since cars hit kind of their modern era in the 1950s and 60s. That if we're going to grow wealth the way that we have grown it in the last century, is going to depend on us innovating in a broader area. Someone points out medical innovations. Even that was happening back then. Drugs. That is where things really are being innovated. That would be the one exception to the rule. But even then, has there been a world-changing one since Viagra? That was world-changing. I'm telling you, that was world-changing. Got a lot to get to. Going to spend quite a bit of time on the governor's race. And why, just a fascinating story out of Chicago. It's 8:57.
Your home for Milwaukee Brewer baseball. 1360, 97.